We on? Good. I. I have a habit of getting disconnected from these things. Praise God, I don't get disconnected from other things like my husband and my family, or obviously the Lord. But I do get disconnected from wiry things. Unfortunately, I don't go well with microphones. But anyway, it's great to be here this morning. And we have to adjust, don't we? As John said, we went to the camp and really had a great time. We left there last night and drove back after all of the activities, and we're really pleased we stayed because they had their church concert, and it was just hilarious. I don't think I've laughed so much for quite a little while, and there was some really good acts. So as John said, there's some tremendous talent, but apart from that, the fun and games, there was some tremendous musical talent came out. And it's just so exciting for us at our age, because we remember back to our children and their generation, and seeing them grow and start off very timidly and anxiously singing or playing their instruments. And they've grown up, and they all serve the Lord obviously with their whole hearts, but musically. And then to see our grandchildren grow up and they also serve the Lord and play their instruments. And now we see the next generation, and we're great expectation for our next generation as they continue to grow, as they're sown into the things of God. So it's really, really good. And I was really thrilled this morning with the scripture for the offering. Because, you know, as the farmer sows and as he puts in, he expects a harvest. And this morning I want to talk to you about what is your expectation. And, you know, we often just go through life and we don't really think about expecting anything. But the Lord has called us to expect. When Jesus was on the cross, as Pastor John said, he said, "It is finished." And yes, he was saying he had completed the work, and so we could expect all that he had come to teach that would come to pass. And you see, as we come around the table and we take communion, as we remember that scripture in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you expect that to be true? Do you believe that? And so as we believe that, and as we know that Jesus died on the cross, we don't just have a hope. We can be expectant that waiting for us is a home in heaven, a home in eternity. But more than that, we have a life of joy, that we have an inheritance now, that we've been transformed from the old to the new, that we've been taken out of the old nature and made into the new, that we've been changed from being servants that serve and strive to sons and daughters. Isn't that wonderful? And you see, that expectation is something that we need to take into everything. As we all know, that John and I embarked about 3.5 years ago in Grow Ministry. And that didn't happen overnight. That seed was sown into our hearts about 12 years ago, or maybe 15 now. It was about 12 years from to when we started. But that started with a seed and a word that God spoke into our hearts separately. And then as we came together and talked about those things, we started to get an excitement. And it started out to be a hope that this could be a possibility. But as we further stood in God and prayed and opened ourselves up to God speaking to us, it became an expectancy. We expected that what the Lord had said, he would do. Now, we couldn't see at the time, physically or financially, how that could happen. And we can often have these thoughts and desires in our heart, and then all of a sudden our mind gets in the way and says, "Oh, gee, that's a bit far-fetched. How could you do that? Who do you think you are? Not only the matter of getting all the money together, but do you think you know, churches around Australia would want you. But you see, the Lord calls us then to step out of that flesh, out of that miry clay, and to stand in him and know that if God has appointed, he will anoint and he will send. And so we stood in that expectancy, and now we see that expectancy fulfilled. It's become a reality. And one of my dreams has been not just for myself, but in ministry, because we've heard a lot about Alice Springs over the years. And when we were in Newman in Western Australia, we met different people and we worked a lot with the Indigenous people. And so we've caught up in different places, but our heart, particularly mine, has been to go to Alice Springs, and praise God that year, this year, that's being fulfilled. And so an expectancy, a hope that started a long time ago, but then became an expectancy by faith, is now becoming a reality. Our expectations have a sure foundation. And as we said before, you imagine a farmer when he goes out to sow his seed. He doesn't throw it out and sow it or buy all these big machines and go out and turn the soil and get up at all hours of the night, and sometimes they work all through the night just hoping that that seed is going to germinate and grow. He expects that it will grow. He expects that in so many months he will yield a crop, and that he will go and he'll harvest that crop, and then he will have enough finance to further look after his land, but also to provide for his family. So we need to know, we know we have a living hope, but we're not just to live in a hope, we are to live expectant and know that what we desire happens. 1 Corinthians 9:10 says, he that ploughs ought to be ploughing in expectation, and he that threshes should be partakers of that expectation. Now, in the King James Version, that says, he who ploughs ought to be ploughing in hope. But you see, when you read it, it's really talking about a deeper hope. It's talking about a hope with an expectation. Then it's an expectation that it will come to pass. And so this morning I would ask you, what is your expectation? You know, we all face disappointments in life. Things don't always work out the way we plan. Sometimes our plans are way, way out there somewhere. Sometimes they're too small. But whatever, when we plan things in our own strength, we know that they just may not come. But when we plan things according to the Word of God, when we know the Word of God, when we have this Word of God right deep within us, when we learn to stand on that Word and trust that Word and expect that Word, that as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be. As God was with the prophets and the people of old in the Scriptures, so he is with us today by his Spirit. And so therefore, when we trust in something, then we will not be disappointed. Things don't think work out the way we want them, but as we learn to find out what God's will is for our life, then we will not be disappointed. I just want to run through a story just to bring a basis to this morning, and it's in 2 Kings chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And of course the story is about Elijah, and he calls Elisha, doesn't he? And when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as I live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha said, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. And the company of the prophets of Jericho went up to Elisha and said, do you not know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Yes, I know, he said. But do not speak of it, because it made him sad. Then Elijah came to him and said, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at the distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up and struck the water with it, and the water divided to the right and the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha said. Simple question, simple question. He asked, but did he ask expecting? Did he ask expecting? Yes, he did. And we know that because as the Lord told Elijah to go and he kept telling his friend to stay, he would not leave him. He pressed in because he believed in the promise. And he was expectant that he would receive. He may not have fully understand what he would receive, but he knew he would receive. And then he was bold and he asked for a double portion. He didn't just want what Elijah had now, he wanted more. And you see, we need to have that expectancy for more. That we will not stay the same as we are today, but that we will change and change, and we will see the Lord give us all that we need to make that change. In my life, I've come to learn, as I said before, there are disappointments, but often those disappointments are because the things I desire are not good for me. And so God has shown me to learn to ask for things according to his will. And many people read the Word of God, and I've said this over and over, I know many that read the Word of God faithfully every day, but do they understand it? It's more than just reading a written word. It's knowing that this word is life, that this word never fails. And it's reading the word with an understanding of the principles and the character of our God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns forever. His power is awesome. When he opens his mouth, it's like tongues of fire. As we read through the scriptures, we see mountains shook and the earth trembles. God is God who can do anything. And you see, God is sure in character. He never changes his mind. Even, you know, sometimes we think God thinks like we do. Look, that's not working out, and I've tried to do that with generations of people and it's failed, so we'll change. No, when God said, "It is written," it is written. When God said, "It is done," it is done. And so we know God's principles. God has a strong character. God is a just God. And so his justice is mercy, but his justice is strong. And he demands what he says. God is a God of love, not love, L-U-V. It's an unconditional love, a love not in the songs that we read that make us go all ooey and gooey. It's a love that is we can depend on. It is a love, you know, all you need is love, da 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 da. All you need is love, love. Well, what's that love? What does that do for you? I want this L-O-V, this unconditional agape love, this love that flies straight to the point, goes straight to my heart and yields me that I might walk in him. That is what God wants. God is a jealous God. God is a true God. And so when we read how God dealt with people in the Old Testament, and now we know we come under the grace of Christ, but Jesus Christ came to fulfill the word, not to change it. The word says that not one dot, not one tittle in the old scripture, which means not one dot, not one cross, not one stroke of the T, nothing will be changed because God has said it, it is done. And so that's what we need to base our expectation on. We need to know there are things that God will do and there are things that God won't do. God will not encourage us to cheat or lie, no matter what. We think, oh, it's not working this way. Maybe if I do it this way. No, if we want it to work, we must walk according to his word. God will not give us lots of money just to please us, but he will supply all of our need. God is a God of healing. He will heal and restore his people because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a great investment in this physical body that is me. God has a great investment in that. God has a purpose. And if I'm to live that purpose, I need to do my part according to his will to keep this body healthy. But above that, I need God's help to instruct me, to encourage me, and to bring the healing when things try to come against me.
Amen.
God is a powerful God. When our hopes and dreams are laid out before God, God is like a loving father. He wants to give us the desires of our heart. If your desire is according to his will, then you can be sure and expect that he will give you the desire of your heart. Now, as I said, it doesn't always happen when we want it. But I know and I've lived to believe, I've experienced over many years. You know, people get so caught up with age. We all grow older every day. And one thing is sure, we know that we're born and we can expect that we will pass from this earth. But it's what happens in the time between when we're born and when we pass. And it's the confidence and the knowledge of knowing where we're going. But you know, when people get caught up with age, I just smile because I stand in a wonderful place, a place that I praise God for, a place even as John and I were sharing that we've seen so much. And in our lifetime, we've been privileged to see so many wonderful things take place. Yes, in our society, in the electronic world, you know, my son bought me and his family bought me a new phone for my birthday, and my grandchildren are teaching me how to drive it, and it's just so exciting to learn all these new technological things, and the same on the computer. And it's such a thrill to know now that our grandchildren are teaching us how to work things. But it's incredible to see the changes that have taken place in our lifetime. And then the wonderful thing, someone said to me the other day, oh, I can't believe I'm at this age and my children are this age, and I think, goodness me, they're 50. And I said to them, look, it's not so bad. It's wonderful because as you get older, you look back and you start to see the fulfillment of your dreams, the fulfillment of the promises God's made to you. And it is good. It is precious. It is precious. Don't despise, don't fret about wherever you are, because we cannot change one thing, not one thing, but enjoy where we are in God. And sometimes people spend so much time fretting about what they think they've lost or how old they're getting, and they miss the present. I don't want to miss one little thing of this present moment. You see, Paul says, and I've preached on this, that whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Well, this is the state I'm in now, right here and now. And am I content? My word, I am. Right now, content. Content to be here. Content to be in this state. Content to be in this life at this moment, enjoying this. Because all we have is this moment. That is all we have. And so we see in Kings, that Elijah had battled the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Fearing for his life, we know that he ran away and was alone and exhausted. And God gave food and comfort and instruction for him to do a number of things. One of these was to go and find a young man, Elisha. Because God had already set up a plan that when Elijah's work was completed, Elisha would come in. And that's our call, that we are to be raising up. My heart, My one heart is to raise women up to stand, to be all that God made them to be. And yes, speak to men too, but I do a lot of work in women's ministry, to raise them up. And also, John and I, to see, to raise up our children, and then to see our children's children and our children's children's children. Not putting any pressure anywhere, but we have an expectation. We have an expectation that is in the Word, that we can claim that, because that is God's will in His time. And so we see that God called Elijah to raise up Elisha. He needed someone to come alongside of him. And so Elijah was instructed to find Elisha. And when he found him ploughing a field, he put his cloak around him. And it's that we can come alongside and put our arm around and nurture someone until they grow. There is nothing more beautiful than to come alongside someone and sow the things of God, not of yourself, into them and see them grow and flourish. And the joy to see them start to stand on their own two feet in God and start to take on and speak and even exceed what you have taught them, exceed where you are, to grow and to do more. And so Elisha responded to the call by taking the cattle he'd been ploughing with the plough and burning them as a sacrifice to the Lord. And like Jesus calling the first disciples, they left their catch of fish, the disciples, and their boats and their nets and followed. So Elisha had burned his bridges behind him, and now there was no going back. And you see, even then, he had an expectant hope that this prophet, this man of God, was going to teach him things beyond his understanding. And so at that time, God was already sowing in this desire. Now the time had come that God was going to take Elijah away, as we read before. And he tells Elisha to stay at Gilgal. He refuses. He tells him to stay at Bethel. He refuses. He tells him to stay in Jericho. He refuses. And each time he says, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. Elijah was trying to tell Elisha that it was over, that there was nothing else to see. However, there was still something that Elisha wanted. And that thing had been sown into his life. What's been sown into your life? You're on a journey, each one of you. Are you going to stop in Gilgal? Are you going to stop in any of these places? Are you going to stop? Are you going to get to a point where it gets too hard? Where you start to focus more on your flesh? Focus more on the things that are happening around you and forgetting what God has said to you? When God speaks, it is done. God doesn't want us to stop. It's like in Psalm 23. It says, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So it doesn't say we are to stop and make our bed in desolation. We are to walk through the valley, knowing that he is walking with us. There are times God says, wait. Someone said to me through this week, oh, I can't stand, I'm impatient, nothing's happening. And I said, remember, God is in the wait with you. If God calls you to wait, he's teaching you something. And you see, we get so caught up with being frustrated in the wait, we don't get hold of the message that we're learning in the wait. So our focus needs to be on him with that expectancy, that hope, to believe that Jesus is with us by his Spirit and he's teaching us and leading us always. In our walk, in the race that is marked out before us, there's no going back. Not only is it true that there should be also no stopping along the way, so we just can't stop. And I pray this morning that you're not stopped. There's not even a place for a pause. It's one foot in front of the other. You know that chorus, I'll walk by faith. Walking is one step in front of the other. And you know, my walking's not as attractive as it used to be. I'm a bit wobbly on my legs. But I thank God that I walk. The other day, I was here ministering and I'd been here for quite a few hours. And so as I left, I was feeling a bit tired. And I was thinking about my legs and saying, Lord, you know, just keep me going. And as I went out the front, a young girl, she would have only been 16, went past in a wheelchair. And I smiled at her and she smiled back. And I said, Lord, forgive me. How she would long to walk. Even if her legs hurt, she would love to walk. But the smile on her face showed me, I don't know anything about her, but she was not fussed about it. She seemed content where she was. So we need to be content with whatever we have, but to know that we are walking, and it's not always a physical walk, but it's a spiritual walk. And that spiritual walk is not to have stops and pauses, but to continue us further on. Sometimes when the Lord tells us to go and get our promises, we struggle. We think we expect it, but when it comes, it's like we think, can it be true? Can this be for me? Yes, it can. And if we've been growing in faith, we will. You know, there's a story in the Bible in Luke about a man called Simeon, and he was getting very, very old. And his desire was to see the coming Messiah. And so he'd been told by the Spirit that he would not die till his eyes saw the Saviour, the Messiah. And so one day, as he was at the temple, as he always was, worshipping, standing outside waiting, the Spirit of the Lord said to him, go into the temple courts. And because he was expectant, because his heart was in tune with the things of God, he heard what the Spirit said to him. And you see, people think when you get old that you're deaf of hearing, that you can't hear anything spiritually. And we can sometimes get lower in our hearing. Some people need glasses. But you see, we're talking about a spiritual thing that never dies. Our spiritual ears will only become dull if we do not keep them alive by the word. If we do not have that relationship with God, then we will not hear. But if we keep that relationship alive, if we walk in the Spirit, if we walk in faith, our ears will stay attuned to hearing. And the more we study, so the older we get in the things of God, the sharper our hearing becomes. Do you know that? It's contrary to the flesh. Everything in God is more powerful and contrary to the flesh. This flesh fades. This spirit grows stronger and stronger, more vibrant, more alive. And the eyes, the spiritual eyes, see. I saw a thing on YouTube. Actually, Errol, Denise sent it to me. And it was very, very powerful. And it's a film of an eagle. And John and I just sat watching it, and we watched it over and over. And it shows this mighty creation of God, this bird that stretches out its wings and just airlessly floats on the air without any effort. It just glides without a sound and glides down over. And for miles it can see its prey. And this eagle was soaring over the water. And then it showed, with the wonder of photography, it showed the water and it showed this type of fish that was swimming. And it was almost like the fish sensed that something was hovering and it just stopped. And the next minute down swoops this eagle, down into the water, right down, nose dived down, picked it up, and it was a huge fish, wasn't it? And he sort of jumped, came up and shook off the water. And it sort of went to one claw and the next minute he got the other and off he flew with it. The weight of it was incredible. But you see, God has made the eagle with the ability to see things. And God has made us to be able to see things, to hear things, to experience things. And so we see Simeon knew by the Spirit of God that he was to go into the temple. And there were people coming from everywhere. And he saw this couple carrying this baby. And he went over and he took this child in his arms. And it was the Lord Jesus. Only God could do that. But that's only a heart that's in tune. A heart that expects. Simeon, all those years, expected that God would be faithful to the promise that he would see the Messiah. Obedience to God's calling in small things opens the door for bigger things. And so we see we have to have that expectancy. And so back to Elisha. He wouldn't let Elijah go without him. There was something he wanted for him before he left. And so he stood his ground and waited, believing. He was not content with what he had. Are you content today with what you have today? We are to be content in God, but always looking for the more. It's not because we're greedy. It's not because we're looking to have great success in other things, but the Lord says he wants us to grow from glory to glory. He wants to change us. He wants us to experience more. The faith that we had yesterday is not enough for us today. We never know what we're going to face. And so our faith needs to be comparable or ready to receive whatever it is that we're going to meet. He wanted more. He was not content. He wanted more. So Elijah replied that this was a different request, but it was granted. And we also need to dream big dreams. Big dreams, but with expectancy. Not dreaming airy-fairy dreams, but dreaming with expectancy, knowing that God will do what he's promised. So we saw that when Elisha received what he wanted, what he'd asked for. As they were walking together along and talking together, now, just prior to God taking Elijah, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated them. It's like it swooped down between them and separated them. And Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha had been paying attention. He had the expectancy and he saw. You see, when Elijah said to him, if you see, he wasn't talking about his physical eyes. He wasn't talking about what he could see. He was talking about if his heart was ready and his spiritual eyes were open to see. You see, the things of God can't be seen just in the physical. They are to be experienced in the spirit, in the spiritual. And so when he went, Elisha cried, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his clothes and he tore them. And as he did, he saw the cloak. That as Elijah went up, the cloak fell. And the cloak was the symbol of the portion that he required. And he picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and he walked back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And then he took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. And he said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Now he wasn't tempting, he was crying out a statement. It was like, now I'm going to see, Lord, what you're going to do with me. What you did for Elijah, you will do for me, but even more. And as he struck the water parted, just as it had for his master. It divided to the right and the left, and he crossed over. And the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And so we see that Elisha then went on, as I said before, about raising people up and them exceeding you, and he did even more than his master had done. Elisha pressed on and received just all that he had asked for. So there is more to have faith than being comfortable. We're not to be comfortable, we're to be stretched in our faith. We're to be stretched. Jesus himself said in John 14:12, "Verily I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the work I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." And we see the parallel. Just as Elijah went to the Father, Elisha did greater things. But even more so now, by the Spirit of God, Jesus has gone. Are you expecting those greater things? Are you expecting that greater faith? You see, expectancy equals faith and assurance. We need to have an assurance in our faith that what we expect according to the Word of God will be. Because God has already apportioned to each one of us a life, a whole life, a good life, a joyful life, a life of expectation, of anticipation, of assurance by faith. And God's desire is that we drink every drop of what he has left us. He wants to see his will fulfilled, because whatever it is that he's speaking to you, I don't know what it is, I only know what he speaks to me. But I know he speaks to each one of them, you. Whatever it is that you have sown in, whatever it is that you have asked God for, whatever it is that you are struggling to believe for, hold it tightly. Don't let it go. Yes, our flesh will waver, our thoughts, our feelings will waver, and we'll think, oh Lord, I'm feeling a bit frail. Get into the Word of God and see what God says. This he will do for you. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, we could ask or think, according to his power. We need to be walking in his Spirit. We need to be allowing his Spirit to take over the negative of our mind, because our mind will always tell us it can't be done. Our mind will always lie to us. But the Spirit is truth, and he will speak truth. And you see, it is God's will that we grow and prosper in all things in him, physically, spiritually, mentally, psychologically, in every way. God wants to see men and women, boys and girls, grow up to become men and women, to be fulfilled in their job, to grow and get married, to have a family, to go on. And of course there are challenges, but God is in the challenges with you. So this morning, my heart for you is that you would have that expectancy, not just a hope, but an expectancy that is sure in the Word of God, that you would, whatever it is this morning that you struggle with, whatever it is that you have laid before God, and you may think, well, I'm going to take it back because it's not working. Go and present it again. Stand in that sure hope. Stand in that expectancy of faith. You see, without expectancy, there's no faith. Without faith, there's no expectancy. They marry together. And we need to believe that God will do. He said, my word is truth. Jesus said, know the truth. Stand firm in God, know the truth, and it will set you free. This is the truth. And God says he wants to bless you and give you your heart's desire. Father God, we just bless you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it'll cut through bone from marrow. It'll cut away, Lord, our fears, our anxieties, our little faith, and it will grow a greater strength and a greater faith. Father, I pray that this morning you would would remain your word, Lord. Whatever it is that I've imparted from you, that your Spirit, Lord, might take it. Anything that has been said that is not necessary would just be forgotten, but your word would remain, Lord. That your Spirit would take your word and sow it into hearts this morning. Hearts that may be grieving a disappointment. Hearts, Lord God, that may be feeling weary in the struggle. May be feeling weary in the wait, Lord God. May be feeling wanting, Lord God. Wanting desperately to see the fulfillment of their desire. The fulfillment of what they believe you promise. Father, I pray that your Spirit might lift them now. Your Holy Spirit might stir their heart again to turn their face, Lord, to turn their face to you, and like Elisha, to say, no, I will not leave. I will not leave this place. I will not leave this promise. I will not leave until I see you fulfill it to me, Lord, because that is your desire for me. Father, sow that into hearts this morning, that we may each one believe that you would never fail us, that you would never forsake us, that your steadfast love is always there. It's new every morning to us. Every morning there is a new glimpse of what you want to do, a new glimpse of this expectant hope that you put in our hearts. So we bless you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. May it live in our hearts that we might rejoice in you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.